Marjorie Taylor Greene warns that MAGA would revolt. That's what she says. If Haley is Nikki Haley is made the vice presidential candidate for the Trump ticket. And she says MAGA would revolt if Nikki Haley were to be given an internship in Trump's next administration. I don't understand why they didn't have any problem with all the cabinet picks that he had in the first place. But why are they so concerned about Nikki Haley there as vice president? Trump already made Fauci president in 2020. Did they not notice that? How many times have I said that? Trump stepped down and made Fauci the president. Do what he says. He's going to determine everything that's going to happen. We're going to be ruled by bureaucrats. I said that when we were running up to the election in 2020. I said, why would I care about the election? Trump turned us over to the bureaucracy. You know, being ruled by bureaucrats with Fauci as president. So why do I care about any of this stuff? But of course, MAGA, which hated all of that, hated the lockdown, hated the vaccine, hated the mask, all the rest of the stuff. Oh, but they love Trump. But he made Fauci president. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he did the same thing with Nikki Haley. Marjorie Taylor Greene goes on to say, she represents the neocon establishment America, last wing of the Republican, the America last wing of the Republican Party that we are absolutely done with. Well, I think she looks just like Trump's cabinet. As a matter of fact, Trump picked her. And I remember, off air, I said to Roger Stone, I said, why in the world would Trump ever put Nikki Haley in for anything? Put her in as UN ambassador. I said, this is typical of what he has done with everybody in his cabinet. You know, he put neocon warmongers in, generals all over the place. He put Goldman Sachs bankers in all over the place to run everything. He sold out to the Republican establishment. He sold out to the neocons. He sold out to the globalists at Davos. And everything he did in 2020 was a sellout to the globalists. But as all this is happening, he's having a lot of fun. And so are his supporters with the dictator comments. People say, oh, he wants to be a dictator or anything. Yeah, I'll be a dictator, but for a day and all the rest of the stuff. So they love it. He's joking about it. The problem is, as I said, you know, just like with Nikki Haley. Oh, he's going to make her vice president. He made Fauci president. He's going to be a dictator. Did you not notice what happened in 2020? How they were dictating everything? And of course, they are clever about it, clever enough to say that we're not going to issue the orders directly. We're going to make recommendations and suggestions. And then if you don't follow our recommendations and suggestions, we'll take that money away. It's kind of like what we were talking about before with social media. Well, it's a nice social media company you got there. It'd be a shame if anything were to happen to it. And so they come in and say, well, that's a nice program you got funded by the federal government. It'd be a shame if anything were to happen to it. That's the way they do this. And so Trump is in Iowa. He's very angry because the governor there, Kim Reynolds, has endorsed DeSantis. And so he's there at his rallies trashing her. What he says is, we love loyalty. We. I love how these politicians refer to themselves as we. We love loyalty. As a matter of fact, that's the only thing he cares about. When the oppositional mainstream press is looking at him, they say, well, look, he's going to fill his cabinet with loyalists. And as I said the other day, I said, well, don't they all? I mean, they all do that. But nobody loves loyalty and demands loyalty more than Trump does. It's the only thing he cares about. And he says, we love loyalty, portrayed Reynolds as unfaithful to him. And he says, she's the least popular governor in the country, but I will be your ethanol champion. As I said, I went to a convention of think tanks when I was doing the kind of work that I showed you earlier. And one of the things they had there, they said, we're going to have a party. It's going to be done as a speakeasy. And if you want to get in, you knock on the door and we'll open up the little thing and you say, I'm here for the ethanol subsidy. Well, maybe that needs to be prohibited. These ethanol subsidies. Everybody understands that it's a bad thing. But this is one of the things that the Republican Party, they like to feed at that trough for the climate stuff. Even The typical climate grifters in the Democrat Party don't even like the ethanol thing, but the farmers in Iowa like it. It's a payoff to them. But when we talk about grifting, Trump's got a legal defense fund. And it's raised not as much money as he would have liked to have raised. His defense fund has only raised $1.6 million over the last 6 months. They've spent, though, less than $30,000. So they're hanging on to the money, but almost all the money that they have spent has been on Mar-a-Lago. Not that he's paying his mortgage, but I guess in a sense he is, because he's held some lavish parties at Mar-a-Lago, and Trump used the donated money from his legal defense fund to pay for these parties at Mar-a-Lago. So in a sense, what he's doing is he's laundering the payments back to himself. No problem, right? A grifter's going to grift. That's what he's always done. That's what he did with Save America. He made $250 million off of his supporters after the election, where he changed the rules, where he made sure that it was going to be a mail-in election. And he made $250 million off of that Save America thing. I don't know how much money Alex Jones made off of Stop the Steal, but he made $250 million. And so now he's up to it again. He raised $1.6 million, and he's paying for parties at Mar-a-Lago. The group that put this together is a political nonprofit called the Patriot Legal Defense Fund. Except they're not paying any defense legal expenses for any of the Patriots at January the 6th. I thought Trump loved loyalty. Is he loyal to those people whose pockets he picked, who he sent into a trap? Yeah, it's the Democrats who laid the trap. He's the one who pushed the people into it. So the first periodic financial report they submitted to the IRS on Wednesday showed they only got $1.6 million in receipts, and about $1 million of that came from one group, one couple, gave him $1 million. There's somebody who has been connected with QAnon as well. And so he got $600,000 for receipts, but even though they haven't spent too much money, most of the money that they have spent, again, they spent $28,000, but $18,000 of that, the majority of it, was to rent a banquet hall from Trump at Mar-a-Lago back in November. And so not a penny for the January Sixers and this Patriot Legal Defense Fund. And as by the way, you know, so he takes in $28,000. He spends $18,000 on a party there that he pays himself for the party. Amazing. Yeah, let's have a party, and it's going to cost me $18,000, and I'll take that money on my legal defense fund. And so you say, okay, so he spent $10,000 on legal defense and $18,000 on a party at Mar-a-Lago. No, he didn't spend a single penny on legal defense. I don't know what he spent the other $10,000 on. They don't say here. But the fund reported no legal expenses. The legal defense fund did not spend a penny on legal defenses, but did spend nearly $20,000 on a party at Mar-a-Lago. And this is really, again, when you look at Trump and how obsessed he is with money, with loyalty, with these other things. He had absolutely no loyalty to his co-defendants in the Georgia thing. And even if he doesn't really like them, it wasn't a smart move to not give them any money at all for their defense fund. And he didn't give any money to Rudy Giuliani. He didn't give any money to Jenna Ellis or any of the other people there. And so a lot of people have said that's not a good harbinger of what's going to happen, because if these people are left on their own to fend for themselves without any money for their legal defense, they might just turn against him, which Jenna Ellis appears to have done. So the $1 million donor was a foundation, a living trust. Court records show that it belongs to a couple. Last name is Borland. Ardent supporters for QAnon. And because of that, the Trump campaign canceled a fundraiser back in October 2020 because at that point in time they didn't want to be affiliated with QAnon. But now the Borlands are back and gave $1 million of the $1.6 million in his defense fund to him, but again, not paying a single penny for any legal expenses. The Supreme Court is agreeing to hear a January the 6th case that could affect Trump's prosecution. This is not something he's directly brought, but we've seen a lot of people who were charged with obstructing an official proceeding, looking at long jail sentences. And so several of these people have appealed to the Supreme Court, as they should. It's an injustice. It truly is. And so in one of these cases, they have agreed here at the one of Joseph Fisher, seeking to dismiss a charge accusing him of obstructing an official proceeding. If he wins or loses, either way, it's going to affect the others who have brought this up. Fisher, by the way, has a federal public defender. Because, you know, he's got no money. He doesn't have a legal defense fund like Trump does. And again, Trump loves loyalty, but only in one direction. Only if that loyalty is to him. So he's got a public defender who is taking this to the Supreme Court. I hope he wins. But again, just having a lot of money for lawyers, as Trump does, doesn't necessarily mean you got the judgment to pick a good lawyer. So as we're talking about legal issues and the impeachment of Biden, which just took the next step, it was now we have an inquiry that has now been authorized by the House. Mike Johnson has said from the very beginning that not only were they going to do an impeachment investigation of Biden, an impeachment of Biden, but he said it was actually required because of his crimes. But again, the crimes that he's focused on are not the crimes against Americans, really. They're the crimes against his political opponents, the graft and the corruption, which we all knew about before the 2020 election. But they played a lot of games to cover that up. And I think that this is also a distraction, again, from this 702, which many of us see as a betrayal of the Fourth Amendment and the American voters. But we'll see what happens with that. That's still in the works. But it's also going to be a distraction away from these 2020 politics and policies that they had a hand in. And nobody's going to bring any charges for that. He deserved this a long time ago, but there's a lot more important crimes than what they're going to be coming after him for, just like we talked about with Ken Starr doing a pass and all this stuff. A 221 to 212 vote along party lines. Some people evidently not there. So far, the inquiry has been two-pronged. One of them looking at the Biden family's financial crimes. The other one on the weaponization of the Justice Department and the FBI against Americans, maybe perhaps against January the Sixers or whatever, but we'll wait and see exactly how far that goes and how broad that goes. The Biden administration, like the Trump administration before it, has been so contemptuous. And again, doing gun control by executive order, piggybacking on to the precedent that Trump did. The Uniparty has never been more unified, quite frankly. We are very divided on personality, but in terms of policy, on the existential issues there, they're all together on that. And so as you look at the inquiry, it looks like this is going to be something that's just going to be election year politics. I don't think there's anything that's going to come out of it other than that. Hunter Biden was very defiant about this. He gave a speech in Capitol Hill. He goes to the Capitol, but he doesn't go inside. He's subpoenaed to participate in a deposition for part of a congressional hearing. Instead, he shows up at the Capitol, says, "I'm not going to go there. This Trump attack machine is after me, but I'm standing right here." And the leftist media was eating that up. Mediaite, the story that you're looking at there, look at that headline, and a stunning news conference. I watched it. It was just boilerplate speech that was written for him by his daddy's speechwriters. And it was total nonsense. But, again, Mediaite does a story on it. Drudge features it. "I'm here today to acknowledge I've made mistakes in my life and I've wasted opportunities and privileges that I was afforded. And for that, I'm responsible for that. I'm accountable. And for that, I'm making amends." What is he doing? I don't know what he's doing to make amends. Maybe Tucker could fill us in because they're such good friends. But I'm also here today to correct how MAGA, the MAGA right, has betrayed me for their political purposes. I am first and foremost a son, a father, a brother, a husband from a loving and supportive family. This reminds me, I talked about Gilbert and Sullivan the other day. Reminds me of the Pirates of Penzance. You know, they have the policeman out there. When a criminal's not a burglar, he's contemplating the brooks, and he's thinking about his mother and all the rest of this stuff. I mean, this guy, he's just, I'm just human like you. And of course he is. But he says, I'm proud to have earned degrees from Georgetown University and Yale, and I'm proud of my legal career, my business career. You've got Breitbart. Nolte says, I'm a victim. He says, this guy is a victim. He refused to pay child support, even while he was spending nearly $1 million on sex and drugs, $872,000 on hookers, on porn, and on sex clubs, while he fought tooth and nail to not pay any child support for his baby daughter. Yeah. So I don't know, when he says he's going to make amends, is he going to start paying some child support about this stuff? The media is quickly backfilling on it, though. The New York Times is fixing up the quotes from Hunter Biden about financial involvement and business dealings. We saw as Comer was coming out of the meeting, he was challenged and debated by a reporter from The Washington Post, kind of as a self-appointed lawyer. They're going to do everything they can to defend this criminal family. And the Republicans are not going to focus on the big crimes.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.